This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Vampire Weekend. I like it. It's called This Life. CliffCentral.com, just after 7 o'clock on a Wednesday. What is it, the 15th? Yeah. Yes. Middle of May.
Nice.
We're halfway there.
Yeah,
we are living on a prayer. No, I just gave you. Yeah.
Take my hand. We're making it elsewhere. All right, I'm actually sick of that song. I never thought I'd say it, but I'm damned sick of it.
Oh. All right, so Sears fragrance is so strong. I'm now being fed fragrance adverts.
Wow.
Seriously.
So strong it got into your
Google
AdWords.
Got into my Google AdWords. Wow.
I think I'm really disappointed today.
No, it's great.
No, your many things today, disappointed is not one of them.
So listen, I'm sure you've received emails like this from time to time. I think this is hilarious. It's always from someone whose name looks like it could be real. But this is Thomas McDonough.
McDonough.
McDonough. And it says, "Hi, I'm a hacker who has access to your OS. I also have full access to your profile. At the time of your hacking, your profile had this password," which is obviously not my password. "You can say, this is my but old pass."
Uh-huh.
"Or, colon, I can change my password at any time. Of course, exclamation mark." There are a lot of exclamation marks in here. "You will be right, but the fact is, when you change the pass, my malware every time saved a new one." So it's written really badly by, you know, obviously a machine that is churning out tons of these and sending them to gullible people, and then people pay out. But here's the funny part. It says, "I made a video showing how you satisfy yourself in the left half of the screen, and in the right half, the video that you were watching. With one click of the mouse, I can send the video to all your emails and contacts on social networks."
Satisfying yourself?
"I can also post access to all your email correspondence and messages that you use. If you want to prevent this, transfer the amount of..."
Oh, how much?
Now, you would think it would be like $10,000. $674. $674. That's the exact number they want in dollars, in Bitcoin. Then they're given a Bitcoin address. So, obviously, this is bullshit.
See, when I got mine, it was a lot more specific.
It says the end. "Bye!" Exclamation mark.
How friendly.
Yeah.
Just always end a threat
with
some friendly
remark. So when you
remark.
Got yours?
When I got mine, the spelling wasn't horrendous, but there was far too many exclamation marks.
Way too many.
It's like, "I am being serious and angry."
Yeah.
And
serious
again.
"I will
again.
Reveal all the dirty things about you that you don't even know are dirty."
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because this week it really is proving to be a bit of a landmark case. Two Nigerian scam artists are having their time in court for what they do online. These are authorities in Singapore who've noticed more than 660 cases being reported last year alone in and around Singapore, and they were able to trace it all back to these two Nigerians. One is 34 years old and another is 37 years old. They were originally arrested in Malaysia, and then they were sent to Singapore because that's where the bulk of their cases were. And now it seems like they're going to face some time in prison for this.
Tell you what, don't mess with Singapore. Those guys will take you down. Mm. And those Nigerians have chosen the wrong people to mess with.
Yeah, they could be jailed for 5 years each and fined if they were convicted.
For sure. That's the minimum they can look forward to. I mean, you go in Singapore, if you spit on the pavements, or you drop litter, or you bring drugs in, they put you away for life. Mm. So, you know, if you've stolen money from people and you've scammed people online, they come and get you. So I just want to say to Thomas, go do your worst, dude.
Okay.
Not that you exist. All right,
just be friendly as well, like he was.
Ben dropped a bit of a clanger on us this morning. He said he went for an interesting medical procedure.
Yeah, well, you know, as we all get older, and people in the age of cancer.
Yes,
there's lots of cancer out there.
Sure,
it's everywhere.
Desperate to get.
So I started feeling like a bit of discomfort in my balls.
Why? What is this from? Suddenly,
don't know.
How did it feel?
Just a bit of a tingle here and there, nothing untoward. And then a slightly
nothing
sharper...
Nothing untoward, but something that worried.
And then a slightly sharper pain from time to time.
Oh, shit.
So you hear all these stories, right, of like suddenly people get diagnosed and all that kind of stuff. And out of all the areas, you don't really want to be messing around there.
Your balls.
But then I thought, like, nah, I'm being paranoid. Okay, so the kind of the pain's kind of persisted for a little bit. But again, not like to the point where I was in huge agony, but why do you have pains there? It's not good, right?
Just something that makes you go,
So I went to, I mean, this is something that people obviously don't often speak about, and I myself haven't really brought up to anybody, mostly because I don't draw too much attention to myself socially. But so I went to the doctor, right, and like I'm generally pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. I might get flu every now and again because I've got to hang around with other dirty people.
You've got a bad back, but
I've got a bad back, but I'm generally healthy. I eat well. I'm in decent shape for my age.
Right.
So I went to the doctor. There's nothing really wrong with me. And I said, look, nothing really wrong with me, but I do have a concern about my balls.
Yeah.
So I said, do you mind if you have it? Could you please have a look at them?
Now, do you just go to your normal doctor?
Yeah,
your
GP down the road.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so my GP said, yeah, sure.
Not that it matters. Is it a woman or a man?
It's a woman.
It's a woman.
It wasn't actually by choice. It was just the closest one, and I've been there for other things before.
Right.
Okay. Like, it's a travel clinic, and there's a GP.
No, she didn't say, can I see?
Well, it's, I mean, look, I've been through this before. I mean, I had a circumcision. I've been to urologist.
Adult circumcision, ghastly procedure.
Ghastly procedure. I'm okay with this kind of stuff. And ultimately, it's all bloody medical stuff. It's not like I'm going there and having a dance. You know,
and sometimes it is literally bloody.
Mm. Exactly. I'm whipping it out for medical purposes, right?
Right.
So then she has a bit of a rummage around there, and she said, "Ah, it's all fine. Just moves a couple of things, squeezes a couple of things. All good.
Yeah, okay. No pain or
nothing." But then she said, "I said, yeah, but I get these pains from time to time." So she said, "Look, what you can do is you can go for an ultrasound."
Ball ultrasound.
Thinking like, God,
how does that work?
This is so costly. So now I'm getting my back sorted out, getting my balls ultrasounded. Anyway, so I obviously, the priority was getting my back sorted out. I got the x-rays, all that kind of stuff. And anyway, yesterday I went back to this place because the pains are kind of just here and there. And it's quite a weird procedure, Steve. Basically, you get told to go into this room and you get told to take off your pants. And you got to lie on this bed and put this blanket over you. I had quite a long and sort of testing day yesterday. I'm just waiting around because I'm filming some stuff. It didn't go so well yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story. So I fell asleep on the bed. I really did. But now I'm like, I'm falling asleep. I'm asleep. No pants on. And a guy walks in the room. And like for a split second, I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Are you asleep, spread eagle?
I'm just lying on my back.
Oh, you're just lying on your back. Okay.
Dates,
but no pants.
No pants.
No underpants?
No, of course not, because you think it's your bald ultrasounded.
So you're lying there with
I'm
everything.
Not
I was like, oh, what?
It's all hanging out.
Yeah, so it was a very strange kind of second, and the doctor introduced himself. I say, hi. But look, he's there to like literally put some stuff around your balls. So it's like you're going to shake his hand or anything. It's straight to business. So he whips the blanket off. And then he says, you know, I'm just going to obviously use a bit of lube. And that phrase isn't quite what you want to hear either.
Especially when someone is about to hit you.
But yeah, so basically the stuff goes on, and then it's like, you know, like you think of an ultrasound in movies, right? It's for pregnancy.
Sure.
So there's that screen, and then basically this thing goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite weird because ultrasounding a woman's pregnant stomach is one thing, right?
Sure.
Surface area, quite firm, bit of a broad stroke here and there. Mm-hmm. But when you're prodding at someone's balls, it's just awkward. And he said, no, look, everything's completely fine. You've got good blood flow.
That's
there's
a relief.
Really nothing to worry about. You've got very normal balls.
So glad to hear
that. And
he
said, look, I'm not entirely sure why you get occasional pains, but it's definitely not cancerous. Nothing here is untoward.
Hmm.
And I felt a bit of a relief. But now he had left this monster blob of lube on my balls. And then he just sort of
too much.
And then he sort of just like tosses me a wad of toilet paper and says, thanks very much. I'll put the report together for you. And then he left.
Not even a goodbye kiss or a chocolate or anything.
Yeah, I mean,
after dinner mint.
Yeah, so it was kind of awkward, but at the same time, obviously a huge relief because you know you hear many stories of people like this, and cancer it hits everybody. I mean, we've spoken at length about cancer on the show, but it was worth going, I guess.
Ben, good for you.
Yeah, Ben, you know what? You've got to be aware of these things, and people who are not, they often end up in big trouble. So just as well you sorted that out, made sure that you were paying attention.
You know, if
on your balls.
If we hear a rattle in our car or something like that, we'll take it to get it checked out right straight away.
But your balls?
In our own humans?
No.
We often don't.
You literally know your nuts now.
I do. I woke up this morning, I felt better about my nuts.
Mm-hmm. No, you should.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's my worst fear, is that isn't it every man's worst fear?
Well, exactly.
Suddenly end up with ball cancer or...
And, it can happen to literally anybody who obviously has balls.
There we go. So, anybody who has balls...
And that's
I'm talking story. To you, Michelle Obama.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, Satan, not today. Don't lead me down this evil path.
Let me play you something quickly that I think just proves that some people are not handling the world anymore. They're just not able to deal with things. You know, Bill Nye used to be that friendly science guy.
Yeah. He was on daytime TV as a kid.
Yeah, he was a friendly old dude who would teach you about science. And I don't know, he seems to have gone completely woke. And by that, I mean he's no longer even credible as a science guy, because if kids watched this, it would be horrific. Don't get me wrong, I'm very open-minded to bad language, but Bill Nye is possessed by some kind of eco-demon, because he's setting shit on fire on his show now and saying we're all fucked, and he's talking about how, you know, listen to this.
Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fucking fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the fuck up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, motherfuckers.
So I don't know, the guy's just, I understand he's trying to be funny, but that he's lost his mind. Like so many people on this this global warming, climate change front at the moment, they're just starting to lose credibility. People like me and lots of other people who are entirely aware of the fact that we have too many carbon emissions, that there's too much pollution, that cars produce too much fart, that all of this shit's going on. We're aware of that, all right? We know it's happening. But to be hysterical like these climate chimpanzees, like Bill Nye, it's driving people away. It's making us think that actually, you know what? You are lunatics.
Well, no, I have to.
Because Al Gore was telling us. Al Gore, when he put out that stupid movie of his that we all took way too seriously at the time, he said in 10 years, he told us, that the polar ice caps would have melted and that every polar bear would be dead. Do you remember those pictures of the polar bear and the shrieking?
I watched
The
Inconvenient Truth. Right? Oh, yes.
Do you remember how he put the fear of God into us and we thought, oh, shit, we've got to do something. Now, human beings have stopped using chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs. We've managed to repair the hole in the ozone layer. We are looking at ways now. There are people building technology. I met a dude not so long ago in Cape Town who's part of a big consortium. What they're doing is building machines that will pull carbon dioxide out of the air.
Oh, wow.
Right? There are technological solutions being worked on. A guy like Bill Nye goes on TV and carries on like this, which is pure ratings.
No, well, I have to quickly interject. It is actually, it's tongue-in-cheek.
Of course it is. But
it's a segment on John Oliver's show.
But Bill Nye is meant to be a smart guy who helps kids. And for him to do this to his brand, and he is like this. I've heard him in discussions. I've heard him on TV talk shows like with Bill Maher, and he goes on about climate change, we're all going to die, and it's, you know, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is busy telling the U.S. Congress that unless they implement her Green New Deal or whatever
woman.
It is,
Jeepers.
Unless they do this, that we're all going to be dead in, she says, 12 years. I mean, this is such hysteria. It's not helping. It's damaging your credibility. So I'm very upset with Bill Nye that he's gone down this path. William Smith, who just got the order of, I don't know, Ikamanga or Mapungubwe or whatever the hell was from Cyril, he would never do this to us, right?
No, he's
so crazy. A credible man. He's an education first kind of guy.
Well, speaking of credibility, you know, like, obviously I'm a massive animal rights person. I mean, I'm no Pamela Anderson, but I do believe animals should get a fairer go in life. These lion parks that are dotted around the country, which are all a pile of shit. Well, some stupid parent took their child, obviously destined for very little.
Hold on, just why do you say it's a pile of shit? You don't like the lion parks? You think it's cruel?
No, I really do, Gareth. I think it's terrible that we should ever cage animals unnecessarily. I mean, for rehabilitation purposes, to rehabilitate them to get back into the wild, I'm all in for it. That's great.
Sure.
I'm all behind that. But when there's just a lion park, so stupid fat people can go and point at lions and then go home, or like, you know, bry next to the place, and these the animals have been cooped up. So this woman took their child to go look at animals, and this lion ripped this kid's scalp off.
Mm-hmm. That's what lions do.
That's what lions do, right? So they go, oh, it's a freak accident. No, it's not a freak accident. These things have the ability to absolutely kill us in, like, for play.
If you put your hand into a juicer, guess what's going to happen to your hand?
Yep.
You get chopped up. If you run at an electric fence, guess what? You're going to get shocked.
Yep.
If you play with a lion, it's going to try and eat you. Why is this a surprise to some people?
Mm-hmm. So the kid went down to pet one of the lions, and this lioness jumped up and grabbed a ponytail, and that was it. So no scalp. And a claw penetrated her skull.
Right.
So yeah, obviously you don't want that as a kid, because that's not very nice, must hurt like shit. But at the same time, we can't keep petting these animals up.
And we've got to stop letting our children think that they can pet the fucking lion. Stop it, morons.
It's not what the Jungle Book told us.
No, this is not a movie.
It's not Nala and Simba.
Oh.
This is the real circle of life.
I'm telling you, some things just need to happen. More people need to be eaten.
Lions want to eat you. That's what they do.
They want to eat you. That's why when we were in the wild, before we had weapons, our instinct was to get the hell out of the way of lions. Now, we're in a Land Rover that's open on the sides, and we think we must get closer to the lions. If you ignore evolution, you do so at your peril, because evolution is not interested in people who don't listen to it. It wipes them out. That's why if you live on the slopes of a volcano, and the volcano erupts, you don't go, what a tragedy. You go, these morons shouldn't be building their houses on the sides of a volcano. Oh, unnecessary for me. See, I'm getting stressed. I'm so glad this Kerry is coming in to talk to us just
about now. Your stress.
Oh, I get stressed out by stupid stuff that I'm not even involved with.
Can you monitor your pulse?
It's reasonable.
All right, there we go. Folks, this is important news.
What is it?
Can we focus on this? I don't know how. We haven't paid attention to it this week yet. The Krugersdorp killers.
Oh.
They're in court this week. We used to, you know, be on top of all of these court cases.
Tell me more.
Oh, ho, ho. Do you want some backstory? Do you remember who the Krugersdorp killers are?
These are this crazy, they're poor whites, and they worshipped Satan. Mm. Isn't that it?
Yes. 4 years.
That's a hell of a thing to go down in history for. Poor whites who worshipped Satan. Not only do you fail in this life, but you fail in the afterlife as well. You're worshipping the guy who's bound, according to his own books, to lose.
Yes.
Well done, chaps. Superb.
Over the course of 4 years, they killed 11 people because they say they were called on and chosen by God to go and perform these. Electus per Deus is what they said. And the whole group is headed up by Miranda Stain. That's the mother. She onboarded her two children, LaRue and Marcel, and they called on their two other friends as well. So between 2012 and 2016, they killed 11 people.
Imagine you are listening to this story for the first time. You're sitting at home.
Whoa.
And you suddenly hear the name like LaRue or Marcel Stain. And
someone who you know?
I know him.
I never thought of it like that.
Imagine.
Which makes it extra freaky. So now...
But didn't they also kill people in very brutal ways, right?
Oh, yes.
They used that... What was it? Chainsaws or something?
Okay. Well, let me just give you a brief synopsis of some of the murder details.
Yeah.
Back in July of 2012, they killed their neighbors by brutally stabbing them to death. In August of 2012, they hacked a 75-year-old with an axe. In October 2012...
75-year-old's tough. That's tough meat.
Mm-hmm.
75-year-old's... That's built on, man. And we're not talking about plump, fresh, you know, young meat. We're talking old meat there.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a little longer.
In October of 2012, the kids of this Miranda killed their friend Michaela because Michaela didn't want to join them in these murders.
They were tough.
They took a bit of a breather, a hiatus for 3 years.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, you got to take the murders out of your system.
Yeah, let it seep out, yeah.
Just a bit. In November of 2015,
de-stress, so to speak, yeah.
They were back in their murderous ways.
Yes.
They killed someone. business owners because they wanted millions of rands. They stabbed them in their own living room. In December of 2015, they murdered a poor street vendor.
See, I hate. I hate when murderous people go on the rampage and kill innocent people. Like, there are plenty of shitheads in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't these guys, you know what heroes they'd be if they took out, like, a crooked politician or a... People would say, you know, they're bad people. Obviously, they must go to jail. They're murderers. Mm-hmm. But they did us all a favor in their murder. Do you know what I mean, Ben?
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Like, there are, you know, if you're a killer and you go after someone who's, I don't know, they've created huge, let's say they've raped their own family members and things, and you kill that person, that rapist, there might be some sympathy for you.
Yeah, because you're almost, it's natural selection, kind of natural order taking place
let's
almost.
Let's say you take out a mayor who's been spending all of the money that their municipality is meant to be spending on, you know, water and electricity and housing for the people in that municipality, and you take out that mayor because they've been spending all that money on themselves.
Side chicks and cars.
Yeah, someone might go, you know, they're bad people and they've done bad things and they must pay for those, but I don't hate them. I hate them a lot. If they take out a homeless person or some business guy in the community or their friend who wouldn't join them, that's not so nice. There's different kinds of murder, let's be honest.
Well, this is just sick and twisted. There's no way about it. So Marcel Steyn had her time in court this week. These are some of her quotes from her time in court yesterday. Now, Marcel, just as a reminder, is the daughter of the kingpin, Miranda Steyn, who started orchestrating all of this. So Marcel Steyn says that she didn't leave the group implicated in all of these murders because she was afraid they would get rid of her. She told the South Gauteng High Court that my mother said if I don't take part, they will get rid of me like Michaela. Michaela is her friend who they also murdered. She continues to say, I was sure that they would kill me because they threatened my brother several times and they killed Michaela. I would be no different.
This WhatsApp group must have been horrific.
Luister, jou klein kak. Ek sê jou doodmaak as jy nie saam met ons hierdie ander mense gaan doodmaak nie.
Imagine the voice notes on that WhatsApp group.
Oh.
And the pictures they would send each other.
I really don't
Look
want to laugh at all of this.
Look what we did last night.
I don't want to laugh at all of
Please,
this.
You've got to get hold of their cell phones.
So currently, the whole group have pleaded not guilty to 32 counts, including murder, robbery with aggravating circumstances, fraud, and intimidation. Mm. Her mother, Miranda Steyn, who's 51 years old, has already been sentenced to 11 life sentences.
Well, I tell you what, make it 12. Vaulting. Make it 12 just for her hairstyle.
Jeepers.
How about... And yeah, as I said a little earlier, they call themselves Electus Per Deus Group, who believe
13.
They were chosen by God.
Now that's a pile of shit, because now they're also outsourcing to God again.
Yeah, they're just calling it what they think. Marcel also explained to the court that she couldn't leave the group because she was afraid they would find her regardless. She says, I felt we were surrounded, whether by Cecilia's powers, Cecilia's also one of the group members, or the people who were still in the satanic church. I was sure if I didn't take part, Cecilia would know. So the court had previously heard that this Cecilia was mentioned before. Cecilia claimed to have supernatural powers.
Yeah.
And that, wait for it, Cecilia could read minds.
Yeah.
Marcel said she didn't participate in the killings, though. She says, I tried to not be involved as deeply. I never actually killed anyone. I was there, but I didn't kill anyone.
Oh, that's convenient.
Where I could, I tried to withdraw, but in a way they would not notice. And pressed on why she took part in the planning of the murders, regardless, Marcel said she had no excuse she could give to avoid taking part. She said, there was nothing I could use as an excuse. I didn't have extramural activities.
You know, honestly, this is just, these are the kind of, this is...
Yeah.
Just what poverty mixed with bad breeding, mixed with a lack of education.
And some odd beliefs.
And yes, just absolute religious credulity. This will produce a powder keg like this family. And go and look at the pictures of them. Look up the family. And look at what these people look like. I mean, I wouldn't want to be within 100 feet of these people. They look revolting. They look rotten. No surprise to me they had to murder people just to get their attention.
Yeah. Marcelva isn't mincing her words, because she went into detail about how her mother built a bomb in one case. She says that none of these murders were committed on the fly. All of them were meticulously planned. So she's really just throwing everyone else.
Well, listen, there's the only way she's going to get herself
in the line of fire.
You know, she'll get a reduced sentence if she's cooperative.
Yeah.
What awful people. Awful, awful.
I'm just going to keep an eye on this. Continue keeping an eye on this. We have to.
Jesus.
These crookest of killers.
Yeah, see, you love the killers.
I'm just saying. The killer's on the loose. And
No, these ones have been arrested, Sia. Calm down.
Huh? What if there's someone else on Electus Per Dias who's still running around here?
No,
you never know. And just also some clarity on some hysteria that the country has been facing over the past couple of weeks.
What's that?
Gift of the Givers released a statement yesterday about the alleged new video of Shiraz Mohammed, the SA photojournalist.
Yeah,
who's captured. So Gift of the Givers says that they are aware of this video and they've done investigation, but through their investigation they found out that this new video that's circulating is actually an old one that's been repurposed. So they're telling the entire country in a few words just to calm down a bit, and they still are monitoring the situation. They say in their official statement, "We checked with the individual who sent us the first video. He was very surprised to hear of this and was not aware of it. It being the second video.
Yeah.
It seems to be a modified version of the one that was initially sent to us, so we are not paying too much attention to it." Remember that in that video, Shiraz Mohammed calls on the president, calls on Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman of Gift of the Givers, saying that his captors are demanding a ransom of $1.5 million for his safe release. But yeah, Gift of the Givers is just saying they're keeping their eyes on this regardless.
Yeah, look, I mean, these guys are not journalists or lawyers, so I reckon you go after their sources. Like, if our police meant business, they would go to Gift of the Givers and say, right, who are you talking to? Who are these people that you know that are connected to these terrorists? Who's passing on these videos to you? Find those people. And I say Dick Cheney them. I say waterboard these motherfuckers.
Wait.
Seriously. Until they give you the information. This is not right. Find out who's got this South African citizen.
I just think, regardless, that is one of the worst things.
Horrible.
To be stuck in.
And you captured by these crazy militant Islamists. I mean, these are not stable people. You don't know what they're going to do. You saw they've killed people before, right?
We all know.
Decapitate a journalist. Yeah. They do terrible things. We've got to find out who these people are, and we've got to... These are not reasonable, rational people you can sit and have a conversation with. You with me?
Mm.
No. All right, let's leave it alone. It's time to de-stress. No, I'm serious. Kerry Rudman is here. Talk about stress. It's something that affects every one of us. It affects Ben. It affects Sia. Sia said he's about a 4 out of 10 in stress. What are you, Ben?
Yeah, about a 4 as well.
Also 4.
Yeah.
I'm not a very stressed guy. I maybe got a 2. I think I manage stress pretty well. I don't get uptight about things. I don't carry a lot of resentment. I'm not angry with a lot of people, even though I sound passionate about things. I'm not massively angry. I don't know. I'm about a 2 out of 10. So Ben's a 4, C is a 4. Figure out where you are on the scale, and obviously you're the only one who knows. But if you find yourself constantly anxious and nervous, and your adrenaline is pumping, and you've got major worries in your life, and you can feel it taking its physical toll on you, you probably need to listen to what Kerry has to say next. What is the true cost of stress, not only on you as an individual, but on the nation as a whole? In South Africa, depression caused by stress and anxiety is measured to cost more than 232 billion rand. Don't ask me how they calculate that. Maybe Kerry knows. 5.7% of the country's GDP in lost productivity. That's either due. Well, here's how they do it. They figure out absence from work or attending work while unwell. So there are a lot of things that we need to be paying attention to. Our brain contains approximately 100 billion neurons. They're the nerve cells that help us to function, essentially live, and they send instructions around and interpret signals that come in. And the 100 billion that each of us possess are capable of storing up to 2.5 million gigs of information. The average human being is dealing with 50,000 more bits of information per second than they were 50 years ago. That's 3 million more per minute. And if those things are making you nervous, it's no surprise. A lot of people are feeling stressed at the moment. Hey, Kerry, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
All right. So, Kerry, let's just get this right. You are an expert in stress management.
I would say an expert in neurofeedback.
Stress
is part of it, but so are many other things. So sleep.
And the good things as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when you are looking at statistics like these ones that I've just given out now about the nation and how it's costing us 232 billion rand in lost productivity, is that a definitive measurement? I mean, can we actually say that? Because people don't normally fill in stress and anxiety on a doctor's note.
Well, that's the thing. People don't speak about it at all. So there are a lot of programs in place, especially the banks. They have an ICAS system which helps the staff, their wellness programs. There's all sorts of things that have been put in place for employees. And bottom line is they will go and do 6 or 7 sessions with those people, but they'll never go back and actually speak about it.
And a lot of people are having physical manifestations of illness and disease that are actually caused by mental anxiety, stress, depression.
Absolutely. On that, what I find quite interesting is I've been doing a lot of research on traumatic brain injuries.
Oh, yes.
And at the moment, there's studies that have been conducted all over the world. There's one in Toronto at the moment that they've studied homeless people and found out that out of the homeless men that they've studied, 60% of them have a traumatic brain injury and 58% of women do. We look at things like depression, anxiety, sleep disorders. A lot of those stem from some or other injury to the brain where people don't even know they have an injury.
Yeah.
They're walking around with it and it affects their moods, personality.
Well, I reckon in South Africa we've got a very violent society. We've got the breakdown of the family. The social fabric is stretched.
Right.
All these things must indicate that we probably have higher levels of traumatic brain injury, of stress, of other mental health issues.
Absolutely. Post-traumatic stress is a huge one.
Absolutely right. Yep. So these things will make you physically unwell.
Absolutely. If your brain isn't functioning 100% and it's not working correctly, you're not working correctly.
Well, how else do the rest of the body doesn't know how to do things without the brain running it?
Absolutely. There's just on that, I was just thinking now, the brain does this incredible thing. If you go through trauma at any point in your life and you're not able to deal with that trauma that you went through, say you've 12 years old and something terrible has happened. What your brain does is it pads a frequency called alpha all the way down the middle of your head, down your midline. And it does that to protect you because you still have to function. You've got to go to school, you've got to eat, you've got to learn and do whatever you have to
survive.
What happens is 30, 40 years later, your alpha starts to decrease as we get older. We call it age-related cognitive decline. And it starts to uncover that thing that it was protecting. And then you get physical pain in your body. So it's your brain's way of saying, look, it's fine, I'll help you through this, but you will deal with it at some point. You'll just get in the way that you have to do something about it. So we're all walking around with a lot of things which are from imbalances that are in our brain, and it's just something we never check.
So how do you measure in an individual how much stress they're going through?
We do a brain map assessment. So I put EEG electrodes on different spots on your head. And it's like taking a photo of your brain. I get to see the patterns that your brain's stuck in, where your brain would go to find information. So there are a lot of QEEG signatures that we've been using for years that show us where frequency should be. From that, we can pick up how much stress you have. We have a baseline of what is a norm for different ages. And we can pick up if it's slightly over, if it's radically over. We look at depression markers on 4 different levels. We can pick up traumas that you've been through in your life and the actual ages that you went through those traumas.
Really? Oh.
What happens is as you grow through different ages, your brain is dominant in certain frequencies at different ages. And it'll actually make almost like a scarring at your temporal lobes at those ages.
Fascinating. So now we're, I mean, obviously, this is something that I think all of medical science is fascinated by, is the idea that the brain is still quite mysterious, but we're making a lot of progress in being able to read its signals and being able to understand and map it and figure out what parts of the brain are involved in what processes.
Absolutely.
So you're saying that thanks to frequency signals, you can almost date certain kinds of neurotransmission.
Yeah, we'll look at basically two major traumas. The one is what we call an abandonment trauma, where you've lost somebody in some way, and that throws your brain into freeze as a coping strategy. So freeze means that you hate confrontation, you hold a lot in, your boundaries are not good, you always try and please everybody around you. And it can stop you from doing certain things in the world. Freeze means you hold back. Mm. And the opposite of that is fight or flight. So if you've been through an infringement trauma, which is anything that's made you really angry or hurt you in some way, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, a car accident, anything like that, it throws you into fight or flight. And fight or flight means you can never relax, ever. You're always looking over your shoulder, preempting what might happen, what might go wrong. But you also become reactionary. Every time somebody pushes your buttons or oversteps a boundary, you're going to say what you want to say, which is great for you. It's just not good for anybody around you.
No,
so it
of course.
Affects all your relationships.
So on that note, what can people do to manage their stress better? Because some people don't necessarily have the ability to go to therapy. Some people don't have the money for drugs. What are the ways that we can cope with this stuff?
So without doing something like neurofeedback, it's all the stuff we know. It's exercise is really good because mm-hmm. the more you exercise, the more you oxygenate your blood, and blood filters through your brain. So the more blood we can send there, the better.
Yeah.
Meditation and prayer are the most incredible things. Yeah. I've done studies where I've shown an 82 and 83-year-old couple who've been meditating since they were 20. There's a frequency in your head called alpha, which is we look at the peak frequency, the actual quality and speed of it. And if we can keep it at a 10, it's the sharpest your brain's ever going to be. You can really take in information and concepts really easily. The more people meditate, and they've proven this with monks, the better they'll stay at that 10 hertz.
That's phenomenal.
So that's really good. Eating well is very good. Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of sleep. We know all this stuff. But life gets in the way, I suppose.
Yeah, what are the major inputs, besides these traumatic events that you were talking about before, what are the main ingredients of what creates a stressed brain and a stressed and anxious disposition?
So toxic environments, if you're in a very stressful job or relationship or mm-hmm. anything like that, alcohol and drugs cause yep. huge imbalances in your brain.
Oh, no.
See ya.
No.
They've shown now that people who drink alcohol consistently every single day, the actual size of their brain stops growing and starts shrinking. Their brains are smaller than people who don't drink every day.
Jesus.
Pharmaceuticals, they're great. They do the job that they're supposed to do, but long term they cause a lot of side effects and they cause imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking sleeping tablets every night, it might help you sleep, but over time you're going to have to increase the strength of it. And that is going to put a lot of slow frequencies in the front of your head. So the more of it you take, the more you can't go to sleep without it, and the more you battle to focus and concentrate.
So let me just understand, because your business is called Brain Harmonics, right?
Right, yeah.
You focus on helping your clients deal with stress and anxiety. You've got unresolved emotional issues there. You've got depression, handling anger, frustration, lack of motivation. Don't you think there's also, thanks to, and this is probably a good thing more than it is bad, but thanks to the fact that we're starting to talk about this kind of thing, that there are more and more people who are finding that they are anxious, stressed, depressed, that they have a condition of some kind. Before, this was unspoken. People didn't really go around talking about this stuff, being honest about it. And maybe there are some people who are kind of wearing it now as some sort of badge of identity. They're enjoying the fact that they get attention from it. But most people are genuinely looking for ways to overcome huge problems, which are holding them back. Would you say that's fair?
I would, and I at the same time, I think that people are still not talking about it. They
really?
Might talk
not
to
enough,
a psychologist
huh?
about it, or when they come in for an assessment with me, they'll mention it.
Yeah, but I don't want to get to the office and have to hear people unpacking their emotional and mental issues.
Right.
So where must we talk about this? What's the appropriate place to do it?
Well, that's the thing. I think there isn't, because people are frowned upon. Who trusts somebody who is in deep depression? Or
no,
if you know you're working with somebody who's going through all of that, would you trust them with that amount of work? Or
no. Fire them.
As you can tell, Kerry, we work in an
new.
Amazing environment.
Get someone
totally
new. Get someone whose brain works.
Builds us up.
Yeah, I want someone whose brain works. But in all seriousness, because for some people, they can't even discuss this with their loved ones and with their family, and then they're going through this private difficulty. And you can't handle everything on your own.
Absolutely.
And if people understand, at least they can do things. They can do things to alleviate the problem for
sure.
you.
And why I love neurofeedback is... a lot of people are really good at talking about it, so they might find somebody, a therapist or somebody that they mm-hmm. can talk to about. They get really good at talking about the problem, but what changes the problem?
Yeah.
They need something that goes in and underlies it and find out where that imbalance is and correct it. This is something that really, really works. It can change the neurochemistry in your brain.
So what do you think the statistics are in South Africa? I mean, we've often spoken with SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, about how it could be as many as one in every four people who are dealing with regular stress, anxiety, and depression. Do you think that that's a fair guess?
I would say more.
More?
From the clients that I've seen over the last 11 years, we look at depression markers on four different levels, and we also look at your internal happiness, and they use, obviously, different chemistry in your brain. So some people might be unhappy internally, and they're treating it with antidepressants, which are not actually fixing the problem.
No.
And sometimes people have all four out of four, and some of them have the depression markers, plus they're not happy internally.
All right, but how's this possible? Because humans are living better than we've ever lived before. We have... You know, we were talking this morning, we have comfortable beds to sleep in, and I'm not saying everybody, but by and large, humanity's never had it this good. We're not in constant war like we used to be. We're not threatened by wild animals, except if you go to Ben's Lion Parks and you put your child over the edge of the Land Rover. We're not being... I mean, work is stressful, but it's really just money. And these things have always been issues for humanity, and they've always been worse because before there was starvation, there was privation, there was hunger, there was violence, there was abuse, there was all of this to an nth degree compared to today. How can it be that we're worse off now that so many more people are suffering from depression and anxiety? Or has it just become something that we are honest about now?
It could be that we're more aware of it now than we ever were before.
Because it sounds like the default position for humanity is to suffer.
It seems that way at the moment.
I mean, that's awful.
It shouldn't be the default, but it seems like that's where we're at. I think that our lifestyle has thrown us into that. Like you said, we're taking in more information than we ever have. In a caveman's entire lifetime, he would have read the equivalent of one New York Times newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We are bombarded with information on every level. In our work environment, especially if you're a youngster now, you've got to prove yourself. You are competing on a level.
Curious. I tried to tell these old people here. Never get it.
It feels these old people here are really holding him back. So is it pressure? Is it the fact that we're in constant, we're being made aware constantly of how other people are doing? And social media must play a huge role in this, right?
Absolutely. And I think people realize how lonely they are. We have all of this going on now. We should be happier than ever. But people are more lonely than ever. They're disconnected.
But
they isolate themselves.
Is that true? Because social media isn't true. People are posting stuff on Instagram that isn't their real life.
Absolutely.
Most of their life is boring, dull, and they look ugly in most photographs. when they're not on Instagram, their life is pretty shit.
Absolutely. But the other people reading that and seeing those pictures are feeling like they're deprived in some way and they need to do better. They've got to keep competing.
Do you think we can fix that? I mean, do you think we can train people out of taking other people's lives at face value?
Lose the technology.
But
come
isn't
back to
it
basics.
Also, and I mean, I'm philosophizing here, but isn't it also a question of just being more grateful for the things we do have? Flushing toilets and,
absolutely.
I love a good toilet flush. I really do.
Often you sit there and you think, this is such a luxurious thing that we can flush the toilet.
And turn a light on and the light goes on.
I mean, this is unheard of for every generation of humanity. Going back from our grandparents as far as time extends. And we don't... We're like, I didn't have 55 likes on my picture on Facebook. I must be a failure. It's kind of stupid, right, when you look at it that way.
It's really stupid. Absolutely.
Are there drugs that people are taking besides antidepressants that are good for them?
Good for them?
Well, you said antidepressants are not good for us, and I'm inclined to agree with you. Long term, I think any dependency on a drug means your brain chemistry is going to be messed up, right? The serotonin levels, the dopamine levels, oxytocin, all of these things they're in very fine balance. And if you take too much medication, you can mess up that balance and then it changes your personality.
Absolutely. I don't believe any drugs are good. Doesn't matter what the medication is. I don't believe that any of them are good.
What about the people who say to us that a lot of this is brain chemistry and it needs to be fixed with chemistry?
Well, if it can be fixed with neurofeedback, which is totally natural, why does it have to be fixed with other chemistry?
So is this considered a kind of holistic medical...
It is, yeah.
Okay. And is there science to back it up? Because this is always where people get nervous about.
There are tons of case studies, tons and tons. There's so many doctors that have been doing research since the 70s. Mm-hmm. There's incredible, amazing studies that have been done on humans, on animals. I love the animal stuff because I know the animal never had an agenda, and if you can prove that something worked in an animal,
right,
it shows it works, definitely.
They're not going to give you biased feedback like a human would. Okay, but then what do you do? What are your measuring instruments? Do you put on an electroencephalogram? Or?
So we use EEG electrodes. Right. I use a conductive paste and I attach them right onto your head, onto each of the different brain lobes. Uh-huh. And then I gather data. It's like taking a photo of each different place while you're doing a task, while your eyes are closed, so I can see where your brain's at, rested, or when you're concentrating. And when we put all that together, it's a bunch of numbers, but it shows us certain patterns. So we're able to read that to show you exactly where your brain's fetching info. If you can't remember names or maths or you're not good at directions, each one of those are a different location in your brain.
It lights up on your EEG.
Not exactly lights up, but yes, we see a pattern and we have
what,
a print
what
of it.
Do you see? What kind of pattern do you see from a stressed brain as opposed to a brain that's meditative and contemplative and in control?
Stress we see as a lot of beta at the back of your head. So when your eyes close, your eyes literally flip to the back of your head. It's supposed to be calm back there. If you've got a lot of busy, it's the little voice in your head that's too loud. It's doing way too many things at the same time. Your brain doesn't shut off because when you try and go to sleep at night, it's still busy. It's just busy all the time. So busy is great when you're using it, but it should be in the front of your head. When you close your eyes, everything should calm down. So a lot of people are stuck in that pattern where they cannot turn it off. Go to bed at night, they wake up a few times a night, their brain just starts reeling. So they're exhausted.
Hmm. So, do we need to get you into this?
Oh,
have you checked out?
I need a whole psychiatric ward. That wouldn't bode me well.
I brought all the equipment. I'll
thank
you,
Carrie.
But are people able to... Are they able to diagnose themselves in terms of stress levels? I mean, I asked everybody in the studio now, what would you give yourself out of 10 in terms of managing stress? We don't really know, do we?
No. So what's interesting is we have a level at the back of your head. If that beat is over 10%, we consider it to be high. So most clients who come to see me will be around about 15 to 18%. When you're over 20, it's considerably high. I've seen seven ladies, all ladies, who are over 30. And when I speak to those ladies, I think they should almost be psychotic. It's so high. And they're very calm. And they normally type A personalities,
well, I mean,
great businesswoman.
You're talking about Hillary Clinton, and you're talking about these are not mentally well. I understand.
No, but they don't see themselves as stressed, and they are so high on the scale of stress.
And they're living normal lives?
Well, normal as in very type A personalities, but
right.
Yeah,
but they're stressed as all hell behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Is there any way we can identify that in ourselves?
Yes, how does it manifest?
So it's, well, you should be aware of your body, so that's another thing happening altogether. We call that your sensory motor rhythm. If your levels are correct in that, your dopamine works correctly, and you're able to connect to what's happening in your body. If it's not, you disconnect from it. So a lot of people have low SMR. They have no idea what's happening. They don't know that they're stressed. They wouldn't know how to recognize it at all. They're the people who go for a massage, and they feel nothing. They're so busy in their head thinking, what am I going to do today? What's for dinner? At the end of the massage, they think it was great, but they felt nothing at all. So the first step would be to connect to your actual body and to your feelings. Then you'd be able to recognize stress.
Because how do we know if we're just tapping our pencil or playing with our foot too much and that's just it, as opposed to it's an issue that you should be paying attention to and getting medical help for?
Like, what is the norm? Is it normal that everybody's tapping their pencil?
Yeah, and everybody has a different normal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like some people, a little bit of stress is motivating to them. Not a lot. Not where it makes you disconnected from reality.
Well, stress is kind of good. Distress is bad. Like, stress, you kind of see, like, I know I've got a little bit of stress between now and Tuesday, but the end of that is great. I'm excited about that. Distress is thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to make it till Tuesday. I have no idea how I can comprehend this. I'm a disaster.
What, Ben? That's actually good.
Yeah, stress is really good for you. It gets you to slam on brakes when you're about to hit the car in front of you. That's kind of important. It's just not good all the time.
No, sure. Exactly.
I'm not joking, but my heart has started pounding faster.
Tell us if we're interested in brain harmonics and neurofeedback, how we can do this. What kind of? How long does it take? How long is an appointment?
It's an assessment is an hour. In that time, it takes about 15 minutes to gather the data, and then we give you a little de-stress so you can feel what it feels like.
Do people fall asleep?
In that assessment, no. And then it takes the rest of the hour to explain what's going on in your brain. We give you a written report afterwards, and then we give you recommendations of how we could balance everything that we see, and then we split it up. So if you just say, oh, I really don't care about sleep, but I want to feel happy, we can do it in those ways.
Okay, that sounds good.
When you do the actual training, we put the electrodes back in those same places we saw the imbalance, and we play your brain back to you as sound. So it's totally non-invasive. There's no input into your brain. You're actually hearing how your brain moves, and you get that feedback in 1/10,000th of a second. So your brain just, it's like your brain seeing itself in a mirror. It recognizes itself as it's moving.
What happens then?
So as your brain pulses in beta, for instance, which is your thinking, analyzing frequency, you'll hear a corresponding piano sound. And each of the different frequencies have different sounds right through from 0 to 38 hertz. So we're showing your brain how it's pulsing at those places, and we give your brain suggestions. So if you battle to focus, we would put the electrodes in the front of your head. We'd give you a movie to watch or Pac-Man to play. When you focus, Pac-Man's going to move around the screen, or your movie's going to play normally. As soon as you get tired and you zone out and you daydream, Pac-Man slows down or your movie flashes. So it's just reinforcement. It shows you your brain how to pulse at each place to get a certain result.
So a lot of people want your details. Will you give those to us so we can put them on cliffcentral.com?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I have a journal I write in there often, and it does help. Meditation is amazing. Thanks for a stunning show. So there's some ideas from somebody. Someone else says, I started meditating in December of last year, and I went to a retreat, and that has helped me enormously. Somebody else saying, do you help children?
Absolutely. No. We normally start training at the age of 6. However, I have trained a 2-year-old and a 1.5-year-old and a 4-year-old. So it depends on what they've been through. There's a lot of trauma. We can start training earlier. But from 6, they can interact with us and play the games, and we can teach them how to learn better.
Okay, very good. We'll post all the info about Brain Harmonics and about Kerry on our website, cliffcentral.com. Go and take a look now, and you can find out more and perhaps also go and have your assessment done. Sounds interesting. Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thank you
what
so much.
What a pleasure to meet you.
And you.
See, he's very stressed. He's coming to you next week.
I'll try and have a look at your brain. I think it might be really sharp. I'd love to see your brain in action.
You think so?
Yeah.
What if you discover that there's a major problem? Are you going to tell me about it or
so
not?
So much
we'll
will make
confidential.
Sense.
Confidential.
All right. No, bring it on. I'm happy. I'm curious to find out these things too. Okay. Know thyself, right? We're talking about what Socrates said how many thousands of years ago. All right, let's get into the news for this morning. Here it is. The first thing you need to know, we continue to draw closer to Cyril Ramaphosa's expected cabinet nip, tuck, and cut. As many as 9 departments could be done away with, which has caused outrage within the ANC. The minister for the Department of Courting Beyonce for community concerts, for example, says they can't be closed as they are just 8 years and 600 million rands away from fulfilling their mandate. Theresa May is going to bring her Brexit bill to Parliament for the 4th time next month. She has a plan this time, though. She's hired some Jehovah's Witnesses to present it. Things have become so bad with her trying to sell this thing that she thinks even these people get more responses from the MPs. And finally, the Bulls are experiencing a mass exodus of top players, and fans are getting worried. The union already lost 87% of their fan base by banning Steve Hofmeyr music at Loftus, but now, with the major players going, the remaining 100 actual rugby fans are teetering on the brink. We shall see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have a good day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Let us know if you want to give us any feedback by messaging 0797402090, or you can send us an email. You know how to do that too. Have a good day.
This is cliffcentral.com.